We've been talking the last couple of weeks. My goal this holiday season is to graft something so we could get a bird's eye view of where God had in mind when he placed Jesus where he did, what the whole plan behind it was. I've often talked from the individual to the Lord, Mary and Joseph and Zacharias and the rest. And I want to just kind of get a scope from what God had intended and really bear down and drill down to what you and I, the expectation that God has 2,000 years later, 28 generations later, from the birth of Christ, our ancestors. How many know that those that were used of God during that time had no idea they were going to be part of eternal history? Had no idea that 2,000 years later we'd be talking about Zacharias, the high priest. We'd be talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. We'd be talking about Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. Just normal folk going about their business. Mary, 14 years old, mind her own business. Angel of the Lord appears and says, hey, you're going to have a baby. Huh? Come on, someone. Zacharias, an old guy, just about ready to retire. Almost done with his duties as a priest. Had one chance to put on the incense on the altar. One chance in a lifetime. And on that day when he stood in the holy place and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, said, you're going to have a child. We talked about that. Can you imagine going home and Zacharias talking to Elizabeth and said, hey, Liz, we're having a baby. They said, you've lost your mind. All those people, normal folks. What is God saying to us this day? The people used at the time of the birth of Christ had no idea. High priest at the end of his life, his wife past childbearing, a carpenter, Joseph, minding his own business, finds out his fiancée is pregnant. Can you imagine that? Shepherds watching their flocks. None said no to God or exhibited rebellion. All did what they were told to do. And that's the challenge really that's laid on at our feet 2,000 years later, that we would do what God tells us to do. Amen. Not slough it off on somebody else. Come on, somebody. 9 gifts of the Spirit, I believe there's 10. 10th gift of the Spirit is passing the buck. You do it. You look like you're gifted. You do it. You make the announcement. You carry the Lord. You tell somebody. You lay hands on somebody and see them healed. You do. Let's pay somebody to do that. But I believe we're at a juncture where we could be eternally used by God. We're a generation that says, well, it's been so long. I want to take a look today. Prior to the birth of Christ, there was 400 years of silence. Everybody got a handout this morning? 400 years of silence. Many Jews had returned from the Persian Empire and rebuilt the temple under Ezra and Nehemiah. The Jewish homeland was taken over by the Persians in 322 B.C., then in 312 B.C., Egypt occupied Jerusalem. All these years, they hadn't heard a direct word from God. They just did what they knew to do. In 204 B.C., Syria took over Jerusalem. And in 171 B.C., Antiochus Epiphanes desecrated the Holy of Holies. He went right into the Holy of Holies and did things that you don't do there. That's for another message. The Jews finally revolted and took back Jerusalem in 165 B.C. It was only 100 years that they held Jerusalem, and it was again taken from them by Rome in 63 B.C. Nearly 5 generations of virtual silence of the Lord. 400 years they had not heard a fresh word from God. Can you imagine? And we complain because it's been 40, 50 years. I believe we're on the cusp of a time of mighty outpouring of God's Spirit. We're even seeing it here this morning. The population at the birth of Christ was approximately 100 million people. 100 million people across the globe. Our current population is 7 plus billion. Can you imagine? Those that were believers, those that were serving God at the time were minuscule compared. Christianity today has more believers than any religion. 2.3 billion professing Christians on the planet. That's almost a third of our population that are professing Christ. Not necessarily serving Christ, but professing Christ. Islam is number two with 1.6 billion. Do you know by 2050 there will be 3 billion believers in Christ on the earth? Wow. And we're left with the challenge, you and I, because God is looking at it from His perspective. Remember, He set all this thing up. We're kind of wondering because we have everybody that's claiming to be prophets today. There's prophets everywhere, people prophesying this and prophesying that. None of it ever comes to pass, but we keep propping them up. How many know the Word of God endures forever? Word of God says in the end time there'll be an outpouring of His Spirit on all flesh. Nobody needs to prophesy that. It's in written word. It's prophecy for today. Come on, someone. And God doesn't work outside of His people. God's not going to do something sovereignly without involving people. You know, God really kind of messed up, didn't He? 14-year-old girl to carry a baby, why don't you just make a baby? After all, you made Adam and Eve, why don't you just, there he is. Come on, somebody. Zacharias, why'd you use Zacharias and Elizabeth? Why didn't you just clean somebody up and make them be John the Baptist? Because God takes nothing and makes it something. And a bunch of us in this room today could say we were nothing and God made us something. Look at somebody to your left and say, you were nothing. But now you're something. Come on, somebody. What have we witnessed in our generation? Much the same as the Jews did over 2,000 years ago. They were occupied by a hostile people. Much of religion is atrophied into dead rituals. Much like it was in the day. They were going through all the motions, but nothing was happening. They hadn't heard from God in 400 years. That every year, Day of Atonement, every year, the feast, every year, they went through the motions. Much like we do today. You say, well, Pastor Rick, it's not that bad. You know, Gallup said that 24%, fewer than 1 in 4 Americans, believe that the Word of God is to be taken literally. 24% do not believe it should be taken literally. These are Christians. 26% of Christians view it as fables, legends, history, and moral precepts recorded by man. Nearly half of Americans believe the Bible to be inspired, but not all of it is to be taken literally. It's like we're on this isthmus surrounded by water. We are less and less and less and less seems to be populated by people who believe the Word of God does not change. This Word does not change, no matter how much we want it to change, sometimes. Yeah. Am I the only one that says to God sometimes, could you make an exception this time? Come on. Middle of the night, you're on your knees, you're crying out to God. God, could you just make an exception? Could I just one time take care of this the way I want to? God's Word doesn't change. Who witnessed the birth of Christ? Pharisees, purity and holiness people. Today we have the Holiness Pentecostals, the Church of God, Seventh-day Adventists, Mennonites, all have an idea of what Jesus is supposed to be and how we're supposed to present Him. The Sadducees, they had no belief of eternal life. Religion was reasonable and worldly. And we have disciples of Christ and Methodists and Episcopalians and Catholics. Methodists right now in January are making a decision whether they're going to follow the Word or not on some very concerning precepts. The Essenes heard about the birth and witnessed the birth of Christ. They were a protest group and removed themselves from the world. John the Baptist was part of that. We have the Amish, the Primitive Baptists, the Preppers, end-time radicals that have separated themselves from the world. Zealots who support armed resistance toward Rome at the time. They witnessed this whole thing taking place. And things haven't changed. We have zealots here on the earth that proclaim to know Christ, but yet they're filled with hate. They don't have an answer. All they do is hate people. Protesting. If we'd spend half the time praying than we did protesting, things would get done. Come on, somebody. And then the Jesus movement, of course, that happened at that time as a result of Christ's ministry, word and spirit-based works that began to happen. We have Americanized Christianity so it fits nicely into the culture and blends in with the idyllic landscape. We've somehow made Christian attractive. Well, Christianity is not attractive to the worldly system. It's not supposed to be. Come on, we can argue that later. It's not supposed to be. We're not supposed to sin. We're not supposed to walk in sin. We're supposed to walk in holiness and righteousness. We're not supposed to walk or talk or act like this world. We're not supposed to have hateful speech from our mouth. We're supposed to love our enemies. Come on, somebody. It's not to look anything like the worldly system that we live in, much like the day when Christ came. And He's coming again. Amen. So just like them, all hope seemed to be lost. Oppression and religion. And there was no life in either. God did not make denominations. Men did. At that time, converts to Judaism were very few, and there was persecution to those who held to the Word of God, much like today. We're in a time where there's more persecution in this first 18 years of the new millennium than the whole 1,000 years prior. Why do you think that is? Because the enemy knows his days are numbered. The character traits that work for those who serve God then have not changed for us now. They are timeless traits that, if followed, will allow us to move in favor and faith. To move in faith as Christians. To see this come to pass. And it's incumbent upon us. I've been saying this the last few weeks and I've been getting strange looks from you. But it's time to get radical about our faith. It's time to get confrontive with love, but confrontive. Because there's a whole other gospel that's been preached out there. Come on, somebody. That's just not true. It doesn't line up to the Word of God. Much like it was in the days of Christ's birth. 352 oral laws that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had put on the people of the day. Things that weren't even part of the Word that were called to be religious. It was an outside religion. It wasn't an inside religion. And we live in a day and an age in 2018 where people are Christian outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. They haven't been born again. So there's very simple steps, very things that we've talked about many times, but I feel the need to cover it again because this is what God is looking at when He looked at the Marys, when He looked at the Elizabeths, when He looked at the Josephs, when He looked at the people of the day, when He looked at His disciples, He was looking at them to carry the faith. And they did so at such a rate that Christianity spread like nothing else. From the first day of Pentecost, 3,000. Then the next time they preached, 5,000. Then more could be numbered. And they were saying, these are those that are turning the world upside down. Because everywhere they went, Jesus showed up. How many believe it can happen again? Everywhere we go, Jesus shows up. Amen. Come on, somebody. Get over to Kroger's and have us a revival. Instead of complaining about cucumbers, glorify Jesus. Come on, somebody. So number one, we need to commit to the vision. You're part of New Life Church. Our vision is to reach out. Our number one commitment is to God. We glorify Him. We come together. We commit our way to Him. We love to pray. We love to praise. And we hope that that's contagious. Psalm 37:5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. As Patty said, commit to Him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. As Diane said, as Brandon said, come on, somebody. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Say, I can't keep my mind on the things of God. Well, commit your works to the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. If you're not mentoring somebody, if you're not ministering to somebody, you should be. Yep. Pass it on. Commit to challenging one another to live a godly life. You know what? Commitment yields results. If you're committed, it will come to pass. Come on, somebody. Come on, someone. I got away from, I think about exercise. You know, I'm not a young man anymore, but I'm committed to be in shape as an older gentleman. Come on, somebody. Committed to be in shape. And so as my commitment grows, I go to the gym, I work out, my body is beginning to respond about 6 months younger than I really am. Come on, somebody. Then it'll be a year and it'll be a year. It's just supposed to be funny. Never mind. Commitment yields results. Part-time commitment yields part-time results. If you're fervent and passionate on Sunday mornings, but on Monday mornings, you're not, that's what you're going to get from Christ. See, the mind of Christ accompanies commitment. Pass on what you know and are learning and train the next generation, but walk in the things of the Lord. Number one, commit to the vision. Commit to what God has you here for. You, my friend, are the Mary. You, my friend, are the Joseph. You, my friend, are the Zacharias. You, my friend, are the Elizabeth, carrying the presence of God into a dark and a dying world. It's us. It's not going to be anybody else. God's not going to bring replacements. He'll add to our numbers, but they're not going to replace us. Come on, somebody. There can only be one Mary. There's only one CJ. Nobody else. What's He called you to do? You say, well, I don't really have that much influence. Yes, you do. Every one of us in this room has influence with somebody. And I believe, I'm just simple enough to believe God placed you in the place you're at, where you're at, with the people you're at, so you could influence them. Say it was just happenstance, a roll of the dice. No, it wasn't. God has exactly got you where you're supposed to be. Come on, someone. You affect the life, no matter where you're at. Looking at it from God's perspective, He says, I placed you here in this generation, in this time, for my glory. Commit to the vision. Secondly, command the enemy to leave. He's had enough. Draw the line. That's enough of him. Someone said, I heard the cry in Patty's voice this morning. That's enough. Enough. That's enough. I'm done. The enemy has far too much reach. We need to cut his arm off. Come on, somebody. Command them to leave. Get angry. Stop getting angry at politicians. Stop getting angry at Washington. Stop getting angry at the situation. Get angry at the enemy. Command them to leave. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. How many know resist means to fight? Dad, gonna get angry. Come on, somebody. Get angry. It's okay to be angry at the devil. 1 Peter 5, 9. Resist him, the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Every Christian should say a violent prayer a day. One violent prayer a day. Get up in the morning and say, devil, I'm coming after you with all I got today. Amen. Jesus' name. You have no authority in my life. You have no authority over my finances, my health, my family. Come on, start making declarations. Because when you do, the devil runs. It's like that cartoon dog. He doesn't want to be around Christians that know why they're here. Nearly 6 out of 10 Christians either strongly agree or somewhat agree with the statement that Satan is not a living being but is a symbol of evil. Right now, in the United States. That's sad. Likewise, most Christians in the United States do not believe that the Holy Spirit is a living force. 58% strongly or somewhat agreed with the statement that the Holy Spirit is a symbol of God's power or presence, but is not a living entity. You wonder why we're in the shape we're in. You wonder why Jerusalem was in the shape it was in when Jesus came. I said, Jesus, why didn't you come during the time Jerusalem occupied Jerusalem? The Jews occupied Jerusalem. Why didn't you come then? It might have been much easier. No, you decided to come when Rome was occupying. Looking at it from God's perspective, He wants to have victory. We got many people that are denying the power of the Holy Spirit, denying the devil even existed, and are asking God to bring back the old days. Stop it. What a waste of breath. God's not bringing back the old ways. He didn't say, I'm a God of the old ways. You can see, you know, when you get to heaven and praying, you get to the throne room and you're praying, God says, the golden oldies. Man, I'll bring it back like the way it was in the first century. Get ready. No, what's he say? He says, I am a God of the new. I do new things. Before they come, before I tell you them, they'll come. He does new things. He does new things. The virgin birth, a new thing. He's looking at it through his eyes. Come on, we gotta get angry. Command the enemy to leave. He's real. He's not just a figment of our imagination. If you don't believe he's real, just ride around and get eyes, spiritual eyes. You don't need. If you don't think he's real, read the newspaper with spiritual eyes. You don't think he's real, sit down and watch TV for an hour with God's eyes. Don't see. Don't tell me the devil's not real. Just read where a star, just 2 days ago, a star, won't name who it is, said, if you want to be popular like me, worship Satan. Follow Satan. He'll give you everything you need. Not funny anymore. We have to command the enemy to leave. Get angry at the devil. Get him out of our lives and out of the way so that God can have his way. God is partnering with us. He doesn't have to partner with us. Listen to me. He's able to do it without us, but he's not going to. Come on, somebody. The birth of Christ could have never happened without Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, the shepherds, the wise men. It would have never happened. God used all those people that were minding their own business. He could have just popped Jesus full grown. You imagine going to the temple one day, who are you? I'm Jesus. How'd you get here? None of your business. I came to proclaim the works of the Father. No, he grew up. He came with people that had to carry his glory. You and I will carry his glory. We talk a lot about the clouds splitting and Christ coming and rescuing us. That's wonderful. And I don't doubt that that's going to happen someday. The Word of God says he'll descend from heaven with a shout. But until then, he's looking at you and me to declare his glory. Yeah. Thirdly, convict one another. It's time to convict one another with the truth. Don't back away from the truth just because somebody is going to get offended. I'm so sick of hearing people, well, you offended me. Big deal. Get over it. I'm offended every day. Come on, somebody. If I let myself be offended, I mean, the world doesn't think like me, and I could get offended really easy. I started thinking about, you know, I'm not going to buy from people that are against the things of the Lord. If I did that, I wouldn't have anything in my house. Right. Everybody's against the things of the Lord. It stopped when I wasn't going to have Jif peanut butter anymore because that was a struggle. Because me and Jif peanut butter, we got it together. But they, you know, they support agendas that I don't like. They make good peanut butter, though. Convict one another. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things. Hold fast what is good. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast a pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Convict one another. There are Christians going around and saying things that the Word never said. My thought is stop it. Don't sanction what God never sanctioned and don't condemn what God blessed. You say God doesn't heal today? Let's go have lunch with Diane. Come on, somebody. You say God doesn't deliver people, there's no such thing as deliverance. Let's go have lunch with Brandon. Full of demons. Not no more. Come on, somebody. We've got to tell the truth. And I see it, man. I'm having conversations with people. I sat on the school board and I'm having conversation with other school board members, and they're looking at me like I got three heads. But I'm not backing down, see? Amen. It's the truth. Yeah. There can only be one truth. There can't be your truth or my truth. Right. It's truth. Jude chapter 1, verse 3 says, beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. Contend for the faith. That means to stand for the faith, declare the faith. You say, well, that's not going to make me very popular. Well, join the human race. What makes you special that you want to be popular? I scoured the Word, and I can't find anywhere in the Word where it says you're going to be popular. I can't find it. I wish it did say that. Come on, somebody. Don't you? Test all things. Please do not believe everything you hear. I say to these Christians all the time, people buy stuff just because somebody with an official-sounding name said it, or it's in a publication. Can I just tell you something? I've been serving the Lord a long time. Every time I hear something or read something, I ask the Holy Spirit, guide me. Is this true or is it not true? Come on, somebody. We just think, hey, well, this person, of course, they're important, or they've got some title, or they've been on TV all this while. It could still be. Come on. I always tell people, don't buy everything you hear from me when I'm preaching. Study it yourself. If I'm wrong, I want to be righted. Test all things. Hold to sound words and sound doctrine. If something is not right, submit it to the Lord and get away from it. Commit and contend for the faith. Pursue the things of God with a passion. Know who you serve. Know who you are. God's looking through the eyes of... Can you imagine if Mary would have said, "Get out of my room, you idiot. I'm not going to be pregnant with anybody. I haven't been with a man. I've got plans to marry Joseph, and that's it. Get out of here." Well, she'd have never done that. Well, she had free will. She wasn't some dumb little uneducated girl. You can read that whenever you read her declaration after she meets Elizabeth. She prophesies, man. She talks about the Father. She talks about the Lord bringing purity and forgiveness to generations to come. She said, "All generations will call me blessed." She was no idiot. Spirit of the Lord came on her. She began to prophesy. Zacharias prophesied after God opened his mouth. These weren't idiot people. They knew who they were. They knew what they were. But they still had free will. Zacharias could have said, "Listen, Elizabeth might be having a baby, but she ain't having one by me. I'm 90-some years old. Forget you." It's quiet in here. I mean, you know, God didn't force any of those people. Looking at this time in history, God is looking through His eyes to our generation. I've said it 1,000 times. You're here because God wants you here now. He doesn't waste things. He just doesn't pile people up so there's 3 billion believers on the planet. He strategically placed you where you are. Fourthly, convince those who have wandered from the faith. It's time to go get the backslider. It's time to go get the lost. It's time to go get them and say, "Come on back. Give us another chance." Because we're passionate about God and we can't do it without you. This generation has a unique calling. Many have bought a lie or a clever look-alike faith. We need to get them out of it. I'm sorry. There's a bunch of the church that's playing games. So-called church that's playing games. In by 11, out by 12. We'll get it all done in 50 minutes and tell you how good you are and how good God is. How many know if we were all good in God, why aren't we in heaven yet? Why hasn't God come back? You know why He hasn't come back? Because it's a mess. He said, "What are we going to do to straighten this out?" Well, God, just wave your magic wand to do it. God, why have a Mary? Why have a 14-year-old girl have a baby? God, why have Zacharias have a baby? Why have him and his wife? Why speak to shepherds? Speak to kings, man. Go to a king and say, "I'm birthing Christ." Go to the leadership. No, he goes to shepherds. Why? Because he had a plan. And he used people. And he's not changed his M.O. 2 Timothy 1:13, "Hold fast the pattern of sound works which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." Titus 1:9, "Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict." Let your voice be heard in the marketplace. King James Version says, "Those who gainsay." Gainsayers are those who speak against, contradict one who sets himself against the word of God. The unruly among us must be reminded of the word. Convince those who have wandered from the word. Find myself in a conversation with another pastor and we got into it. I lovingly told him, "That's not what the word of God says. I'm sorry. It's not my opinion. This is what the word of God says." It's unpleasant, but things must be set in order. You say, "Well, you know, God would never put you in that situation." Try and be Mary and Joseph and convince your families that you didn't sleep together. Can you imagine that conversation? "You're telling me that you're pregnant, but you never slept with this man? Honey, get the shotgun." We've had that conversation, you and I, before. Zacharias talking to his wife. "Man, I don't know what it was. It's the angel of the Lord. I'm telling you, honey, we're supposed to have a baby." Convince those who have wandered from the faith. We need everybody on board. Romans 10:14 says, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preach. Talk about the word of God around people that have wandered off. 1 Corinthians 14:7-9. Listen to it. It says, even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will they be known? How will it be known what is piped or played? Verse 8 says, for if a trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. Now it's talking about tongues and interpretation, but the proof is in the pudding. People have made a living out of all these mysteries and secrets. I've been in prayer and I've got, nobody's ever heard this before. And if you buy my tape series for $150, I'll give you stuff you've never heard before. Give me a break. What are you, part of the Deeper Life Club? The Word of God is simple and open. Come on, we've got work to do. We haven't got time to, God will reveal the mysteries to us. We got all kinds of, oh, here's somebody that's got a new mystery that nobody's ever had before. Am I talking to the right people? Come on. Convince those who have wondered. I want to tell some of those, why don't you come down off your high horse, man? We got work to do. Number 5, confirm the word. Walk with expectation. God will use you. Walk with him in boldness. Walk in availability. That's all he's asking. He's asking for availability, not abilities. Oh, how much ability could Mary have? 14 years old. How much ability could Zacharias remember? Come on, somebody. He just was available. You go through the Word of God. These people that were used of God. Man, I've only got another hour. You're okay. You're all right. Watch what Jesus said in John. He says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You don't even need to preach that. You don't even need to preach that. Just read it. That ought to do something to your heart. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. We need to lift our faith again, don't we? We need to lift our faith. Confirm the word. You know, I was talking about Diane. I was out in the foyer talking to Tom Skrilla. I was out by his table, a table set up out there. And all of a sudden I heard, I can walk! Man, when she screamed, I ran over there. I thought she was having a conniption or something. Thought I was going to have to cast something out. She screamed. Man. And then she started backing up. She backed the whole way in here. It's backed up all the way down the aisle. She's backing up. I said, he healed her, but she's walking backwards. No, you're supposed to walk forwards. She's walking backwards. Come on, someone. She confirmed the word. How many times she get prayed for, she confirmed the word. And still confirming it every day. Confirm the word, man. I don't care how many people don't believe. It doesn't make any difference to me. I know who of I serve. I know who he is. I know what he's done for me. I know what I see him doing with people like Diane and her son. And you guys drive me to jealousy. So I'm looking at people. Every day I come in, I'm looking at people that, man, you have faced some of the most terrible things in life, yet you're rejoicing in God. Should be dead. Some people in here should be dead already in heaven. And they're here. Just drives me. I'm so excited. Confirm the word. And lastly, celebrate Jesus. Man, get excited about you. You know, the other day I was praying and I just seemed to hear the Lord say, why are you so serious? Let's have fun. I started rejoicing, man. I looked up some old songs that I used to sing years ago on YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube. Old worship songs, man, and I'm dancing around and worshiping. And have fun with Jesus. Celebrate Jesus, man. All this in heaven to boot. We get to go to heaven. We get to spend eternity with our Lord. Celebrate Him. Philippians 3:1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. He goes on to say in the fourth chapter, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Again, I will say rejoice. It says sometimes. What's that mean? What's always mean? Come on now, let's raise the faith in the room. What's always mean? You say, Pastor Rick, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't know what you're going through, but I know the Word of God says to rejoice in what you're going through. I don't want to embarrass Joanne, but Joanne, in losing her husband, stood at the funeral and said, my God is faithful. I don't know who had come and told her what, but she stood and said, my God is faithful, and I love Him, and I serve Him. And if you think any different, keep your thoughts to yourself. Drives me to jealousy. Rejoice in the Lord. Nothing that we face in this life compares to the eternity that we'll spend with Christ. Laying up our treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt nor rust corrode. Come on, somebody. We're laying up our treasure in heaven where God says, well done, good and faithful servant. And there's a party 24/7 in heaven. Come on, somebody. Be in the presence of the Lord. Woo! 1 Peter 1:8 says, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. You ever seen anybody so happy they can't even talk? Huh? Have you ever seen anybody so excited? And they're just, man, let's get excited about Jesus again. Who wants to join a bunch of people who look like they've been baptized in pickle juice? Come to church. We're going to have church today. And you can't wear that, and you can't say that, and you can't do that, but come to church. We're going to have fun. Bless God. Come on, man. Get happy about Jesus. Because He's happy about us. He rejoices over us. The Word of God says He rejoices over us with singing. He rejoiced when the disciples came back and said, even the demons are subject to His name. Jesus twirled around and rejoiced in the Spirit. If He could do it, I can do it. Let's get excited about God and rejoice in Him. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your eyes on this day and this age. God, thank You for what You're doing. You're stirring the Marys and the Elizabeths and the Zachariases. God, You're stirring us. You're stirring the CJs and the Brads and the Dianes and the Terrys. Lord, You're stirring us. Lord, we're about to impact eternity. God, You birthed us for this time that in the annals of history, God, after we're with You for eons, we'll be talking about this time. When the whole world was changed by the power of Your Spirit. God, we believe that. We release our faith towards that end. God, I ask You to meet and exceed everybody's expectations today. We won't forget to give You the glory and the honor. Thank You for what You did this morning. Thank You for the lives that You touched and continue to touch. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.